Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster to the studio here from Harvell & Collins. Happy New Year, Andrew.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Another year, 2021. Let's make this one a normal year as far as our taxes and our deadlines and all that. Last year was crazy.
That's right.
And you're going to have fun, I think, still probably working through the crazy of last year.
No doubt.
Into this year.
So it's been a couple of weeks since, you know, we've been live in the studio.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the Christmas break, and there were some things that happened, you know, late in the year.
Yeah.
And we had the direct payments that we kept talking about for many, many shows. Mm-hmm. What was it going to look like?
How much?
Yeah. What shape is this going to take? And they ultimately took the shape of $600 payments,
right.
Stimulus payments.
Right.
And the individuals that received those were individuals making less than $75,000 a year. Up to 150 married filing jointly. And then, of course, there's that reduction, $5 for every $100 reduced off that $600 for anybody over those
yeah.
amounts until you phase out completely.
Sure.
So that's how the payments went. We have a, you know, a situation where those payments are being made as we speak.
Yeah, deposit.
They started on the 28th, 29th of December.
Last week people were getting hit.
Yeah, and people are starting to get them. And you know, one of the cool things they've got out there right now, Mike, is a tool. It's a Where's My Payment tool. So you can go online, you can mm-hmm. put in some information. It's a secure portal through the IRS. And they give you a date, which they say you should expect your payment by this date. So it's kind of a neat little tool. I went ahead and put my information there because I wanted to see how it worked.
Yeah.
And it just pops right up and says, you know, you'll receive your payment January 6th.
Are you a direct deposit or a paper? Or
direct
check?
Deposit.
Okay. We'll tell you either way if you receive it by check.
Yes.
This is your date. Okay. Yeah, I saw the IRS.gov.
It's
really, and they have actually a very easy website to navigate through.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you're wondering, you know, like I hear about all these people getting their payments and I haven't received mine yet, you know, I do encourage you to go on there and enter your information and see kind of where things are in the process.
And what is that information they ask?
Just your social security
That's
number,
it.
And then your date of birth, and then I think that was pretty much it.
DOB and a social. That's
yeah.
It.
That's okay. Pretty much all you have to give them.
Yeah.
And once you do that, they'll shoot you. You hit submit.
Is
the
that
box
pretty much
pops up and there you go?
Is that for the household? In other words, you put your Andrew Foster in, and mm-hmm. that is your wife would be following the same. That
correct.
Same time,
yeah.
Same
so
schedule.
If you're married, filing jointly, regardless of who puts their information in,
okay.
You know it'll be together.
Things
so.
To do today. I'll do that. That sounds easy.
Yeah, very
that
easy.
Easy.
The other thing that was passed at the end of the year was. Payroll protection plan money again. So we've got a couple different things regarding the payroll protection program. Number one is the deductibility of expenses that you receive. So we talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit of what we call double dipping because if you get a loan and then that loan is forgiven,
yeah.
typically that is called canceled indebtedness income.
Can't do it twice.
Yeah. So normally, Mike, if this was just a normal thing and this wasn't, this was a loan and it was forgiven, canceled indebtedness would be income.
Right.
But of course, what did Congress do? They put it in there and said, no, if it's forgiven, it's not going to be income. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you don't have to report it as income. And then the question became, okay, well, now I've made these expenses, their payroll, their utilities, their rent. These are typically business deductible expenses. And at first, the IRS came out with guidance and said, no. Since it's not income, you then can't deduct those expenses.
Sure.
And now what's gone on is they've said, no, we've reconsidered that. Congress has now passed a law which will supersede the regulations that IRS promulgated, and you can now deduct those payments for payroll.
Wow.
You can deduct those payments for rent. You can deduct those payments for utilities. Those expenses that would normally be deductible are deductible. So you get a little bit of benefit on
sure
both
do.
Sides.
Yeah.
You get the forgiveness aspect and you get the deductibility aspect. So, really good benefit there for the payroll protection plan. The other thing that was interesting for practitioners is sometimes, Mike, when you get forgiveness of income, rather than you require it to be paid as report as income and then pay tax on it. They say, okay, well, never mind. Don't do that. What you have to do is you have to reduce the basis of your assets mm-hmm. by the amount that was forgiven. So, you know, hypothetically, you got a $100,000 paycheck protection loan mm-hmm. and, you know, it's later forgiven. We know it's not income because that's what the law says. But there was some concern out there that says, okay, well, now it's not income, but do you need to reduce the basis in your asset? Like, let's say you own a building and it's worth $1 million, is now your, or you bought it for $1 million. Does it now need to go down to 900,000 as a basis adjustment? That way, when you sell the building later on, you end up having to pay some of the tax.
Yeah.
IRS came out and said no. So you get three benefits, really. Forgiveness, deductibility, and then no basis adjustment relative to the forgiveness of the loan. So some really good benefits relative to the Paycheck Protection Program, which leads me to my next item of that, which is we've got now, we'll call it round two, but it's really round three of the payroll protection. The original plan was, you know, obviously funded with several billion dollars.
That was in April, I think, April 3rd, summer, early April.
April, that's right. Yeah. April, and then another, you know, more money was put into the program in June, July. And now we have more money that's put in there, $285 billion into the plan. And this will be, we call it round two because the first one was really just an extension. You know, that was the way that went down. Now you have a second bite of the apple. If you haven't gotten your paycheck protection loan, you now have the ability to apply under the original plan, and this $285 billion is included in that. Or if you've already gotten one, you can take a second bite.
You can go back.
You can go ahead and get more money potentially. Now, this is the caveat on the round two, is that you have to show a 25% decrease in revenue from one of your quarters in 2020 versus one of your quarters in 2019. So you'd really need to do some looking into, you know, did you have a drop in business? And a lot of businesses did. Obviously, if you're sitting out there in your restaurant.
It's restaurant bars.
Yeah, I was going to say, then you know that you've had that drop in business.
Yep.
Then this round two would allow you to get even additional funding through the Paycheck Protection Program under those same rules and guidance relative to forgiveness and deductibility and no basis adjustment that I just went over.
What are you hearing about forgiveness as far as loans?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Right now, you know, they kept extending that time out. Before it was your 8-week period ended, you know, you need to be looking into forgiveness immediately.
Yeah.
And then now the edict is more, okay, you've got 10 months from the date the loan was funded to get your forgiveness submitted. So therefore, it might be best to just hold off a little bit on it. And why do I say that? Because every day there is more interim guidance that's being handed down from the Treasury regarding forgiveness of PPP loans. And especially if you're under the $150,000 mark, you know, they're alluding right now, Mike, to basically just forgiving it on a signature on a one-page document potentially and not having to go through the rigmarole of filling out all these schedules and spreadsheets, et cetera.
I think the banks would like to see that.
Yeah, I
think the feds would like to see that and just say you still have a heartbeat, you sign your name, date it, and off it goes and it gets scrubbed off your
statement. You're basically just going to have to assert that you met all the requirements.
Yeah.
You kept your employees, you paid your employees, all that stuff.
It's an unusual time. The IRS showing a lot of leniency in this, that's something you may not have seen over your years of working taxes.
Well, I think part of the thing is that Congress gives the IRS its marching orders, you know, and again, you see the IRS going under what they would see historically precedent rules, you know, obviously in this forgiveness and deductibility issue, they go, well, this is normally how we deal with that.
Yeah.
And the Congress keeps saying, this isn't a normal situation.
Yeah.
This is not normal. Therefore, we're going to bend these rules and we're going to let people take full benefit of this because the idea of this program was to provide relief for businesses who needed it during a terrible time in American history where businesses are getting shut down by the government.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I think that's where we are, Mike, which is, you know, unprecedented times lead to unprecedented measures. And I think that's why you're seeing the Congress put pressure on the IRS to again make sure that they're being as flexible as possible relative to this program.
Speaking of Congress, and one of the uncertainties is now a certainty. The Senate is going to be controlled by
Correct.
Chuck Schumer and the Democrats.
Yes.
Taxes and all of that in the new year.
Yeah.
What do you portend? What do you see coming down the road?
So what we're looking at, Mike, is that, as you know, the Trump tax cuts, top tax cut and job act, how was it passed? Passed through what we call budget reconciliation, which means that you only need 50 votes in order to get it passed, 51 votes. So that is going to be on the table, obviously, for this new Senate. If they want to make adjustments to the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, then they could use the budget reconciliation process, which would only require the 50 votes. Now, they're going to have a unified front, because as we know, they have no margin for error.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the most powerful men in the Senate now, Joe Manchin from West Virginia. We'll see what he's going to do. You know, I don't know. I don't know how far he'll be willing to go. Obviously, he's got to answer to his constituents in West Virginia. But, you know, I think there's going to be something. I mean, I think there will be some changes in the tax code in this particular year. We talked about how last year it was going to be pretty steady because we're in an election cycle.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're looking at changes now, especially given the new makeup of the Senate. And, you know, I would definitely encourage, and I will stay on top of this, obviously, of what the proposals are going to be. We know what President-elect Biden said he wanted, but just because you say you want it and what you can get passed are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what he makes his priorities come January 20th and, you know, what we hear more of the details of these plans that he
right.
wants to hash out. And again, you know, raising taxes in a pandemic is going to be difficult.
Yeah,
I'll just say it's going to be difficult. So we'll see what shakes out, but obviously we're going to keep our ear to it and let the listeners know what's going down, what's coming down the pike, so we can plan, because
yeah.
that's the big thing here, Mike, is
yeah.
how do we make sure that we plan appropriately
sure.
to deal with these types of issues?
Yeah.
And then once the laws are passed, what can we do to take advantage and make our tax situation the best that it can be?
It's good advice. And I would, if you want to talk to Andrew about such tax plans, I would call 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Now's the time to get your plan in place, because these times, they are a-changin'. And they have seen the change quite quickly and readily over the last year or so. So stay tuned for that. Thank you, Andrew. And we'll do another Life and Taxes next Thursday at this appointed time. We're going to take a short break here and be right back.